Well, welcome to the God School. This is July 5th, the day after the 4th of July, in which this country, the United States, celebrates their Independence Day. Or at least is supposed to celebrate their Independence Day. The United States, being the most unique government in the history of mankind. And yet, today, we see many of those freedoms that our founding fathers, I believe, under the influence of God, fought and died for, being treated so lightly and honestly given up so easily. And what comes to my mind about this is that this is something that is this, this unique operation, historically speaking, in the history of the world. The United States. What a great gift. And yet it's treated very lightly. And the older I get, the more amazed I am at how lightly we treat the calling of God in our lives, the specific, individual choosing out for himself before the foundation of the world, how lightly we take it. It is the most awesome position in all eternity. And yet, many would reduce it down to some kind of religious performance or, if you're part of the elect, you'll act like it. Again, performance. But if we would spend time, and I believe that is one of the manifestations of spending time in the Word, it is a deeper understanding of just how important the calling of God is and how precious we should hold it. And the warfare between the gift of understanding and knowledge of the fact of God's choosing and this visible container called a body, how prolific and how subtle and how horrible the warfare is that the subtle part, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Man, I've been spending time this week in the book of Colossians. And you know, we're gonna go and we're gonna read some of it tonight. We're a very small group tonight, but I'm reminded, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus speaking, there am I in the midst. And I'm disappointed in these numbers. But I'm not going to be disappointed and discouraged, because the promise of God is we, being gathered in His name, we have the understanding He also is in our midst. So Colossians starts, Paul, an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. Well, that excludes all of us, because sure couldn't call us saints by what we see. Well, the word I would make you mindful is hagios, and it has more to do with commitment than performance. It's that which is dedicated to the deity. To the saints and faithful brethren, where? In Christ. Geographically, they just happen to be at Colossae. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, here is a perfect example or an explanation that a saint is not perfect. Because if a saint was perfect, they'd have no need of grace. Those of you who have ears, I hope you hear. Unmerited favor unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. This guy, Paul, he had to be a great prayer. And I think the number one qualification for an ability to pray is a constant awareness of God and His presence. You know, Paul says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And the word there means lack of awareness of God's presence. When we walk with an awareness that God is with us, prayer is a result. Prayer is a result. Prayer is talking with God. It's not just, you know, gimme, 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 God. It's thanking God It's thanking God for His blessings. It's thanking God for His chastisements. It's thanking God that He has given us, which is not given to everyone, an awareness of His presence. This is part of the calling and choosing of God, that we are aware of His presence. Paul says he hasn't stopped praying since he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which they have to all the saints. He's praying for the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. And he reminds them, you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it has in all the world. There's a curious statement. I'm not going to try to define that here. Something's going to come up a little later. And bringing forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Man, you know, we read those words and, you know, they come out of the Bible, therefore they're holy. And we, you know, read the Bible through in 72, 82, and 92, and what's the fruit of the gospel and the knowledge of the grace of God in truth? In truth. In truth, we are sinners. And have no right to God. You know, Holly a couple of weeks ago was talking about, they showed the movie One Night with the King, and the kids there, when they saw the rules of approaching the king, and how special it was to be in the king's presence, they all looked and they judged for themselves and said, that's not fair. That's not fair. Like, God is fair. If God was fair with me, you know, I'd have been dead a long time ago. And in eternity, in hell, if He was fair. But we would judge God. I had a conversation last night that it really caused me to, made me mindful of how grateful I should be. Because I was talking with somebody who, on an intellectual level, is far superior to me in terms of the exposure to history and scientific theory. But all the facts and figures and knowledge that he has are absent God awareness. And the presumption, and we're all guilty, but it really got brought home, the presumption of man to look at history and lay down a set of facts and draw conclusions and judgments and never bring God into the equation really sets themselves up as God, wherein, you know, if they were in charge, history certainly wouldn't have happened that way. Because, you know, they're much smarter. And, you know, I kept saying to him, you know, I appreciate your exposing yourselves or self to all this information and all this knowledge, and truly you have an intellectual capacity well beyond mine. But, you know, you're missing something. And you're missing the most important thing. And the most important thing is God is in control. And it may seem as though history is a gathering of random facts, but the scripture is very clear. God enters into all things to work His good. And when I presented that fact, you know, then it became a contest of, well, you know, I'm gonna out argue you. And my last words were to him, God is not to be argued. God is to be declared. And the understanding and knowledge of God is to be received. And it's a gift. And it's obvious at this time you don't have it. And therefore there is no purpose to continue, because, you know, somehow or other you think that this is a contest between you and me. And it's not. Now, here's the deal. Talented, intelligent, a desire for knowledge, but never, ever in the direction of God. That's a description that God defines as godless. And it's a manifestation of Romans 1:18 through 34 of God's wrath, in that He turned them over and would not let them know who He was. I mean, this all started, that conversation all started by looking at the sunset last night with the powerful thunderheads and the sun behind them and glorious colors and brightness. And, you know, I said, well, you know, God does pretty good work. And he said, it's the thunder. It's the thunderheads. Okay, it's nature. But just refuse to acknowledge. Look, if I'm sounding foolish about this, then I want to be foolish about this. Because this walk with God begins by God and His Spirit. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father save the Spirit. And He's talking about the Spirit of God drawing him. It's a most thankworthy and praiseworthy condition that we can be aware of God. And I believe that when the awareness of God comes, desire to know this one who has called us grows. And for proper growth, the growth comes from reading the Word. The growth comes from that which God has preserved in spite of man handling it. You know, it's so funny. I had some folks in a week before last or something, and it's amazing how these people who are on the edge of biblolatry, that is, causing the Bible to be an idol, when they speak of the history of the Word, they speak in such glowing terms of, oh, the most righteous of men translated this, and that's why it's inspired. And man, they were the same guys, put their pants on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us. You know, that were sinners also, whom, in spite of their condition, just like in spite of our condition, God chose to work with. And He really chose to work with them before the foundation of the world. And knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love, your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, Paul repeats himself again, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I want to give you a little encouragement here. This word, translated in the 10th verse, worthy. If I were you, I'd cross it out and I'd replace it with the word worthily, because the word is axios, and it is an adverb. It is not a verb. Satan, for thousands of years, has been able to take this verse of Scripture. Well, I say thousands, let me correct myself. For almost 2,000 years, has been able to take this particular verse, but the thought expressed throughout the Old Testament is still contained in this expression, and that's why it was translated this way. And it's wrong, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. There's no one that's worthy of the Lord. If we were worthy, why would we need grace? And to anyone who might be questioning their relationship with God because of this verse that it says we are to walk worthy, I want to encourage you that ye might walk worthily. That is, discerning, being aware. Again, back to God awareness. Unto all pleasing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Being fruitful in every good work. and increasing in the knowledge of God, if we walk with awareness of God and the grace of God and the power of the gospel of Christ, we will walk worthily. And as we walk in that spirit, that seed that God has promised for faith will begin to grow. And God's goodness, time to time, will be made manifest. But in the meantime, we're increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. This word is dunamis, from which we get dynamite. That's real power. According to His glorious power. That song that comes out, I can only imagine. That's the best we can do. Andrew, it's my understanding, there was a time that you look beyond where most human beings have been able to look, and you've seen power beyond, and that, I'm sure, caused even greater imagination seeing that power at work out through the Hubble telescope. We can't even begin to fathom God's power. But of His power, the good news is, a description of it is, He is able to call that which is not as though it is. He is able, by His power and through Jesus Christ, this sinner, a son, and us sinners, sons, and we, by His power, can call Him Father. According to His glorious power, unto all patience. No. The word is endurance and long suffering. And if we walk with an awareness of God, with joyfulness, endurance, long suffering. Man, long suffering, that means suffer long. And how could there possibly be joyfulness in suffering long? Well, it comes with understanding. Understanding. Being aware of God's presence and having, what does it say? The knowledge of God. And as you walk with God, you come to know some of His ways. It was lamented by God that only Moses came to know His ways, the people His acts. His ways are revealed in this word. His ways are to test us, to put us in situations where endurance is required, to put us in situations where long suffering is required. But to those He's chosen, to those He's called, He's given His Spirit, there is understanding and awareness of His presence. And therefore, Paul can say, with joyfulness, giving thanks. I loved it the first time I learned what this Greek word, giving thanks, what the word is. And it is eucharistuntis. And there we can get the word Eucharist. Now, I come from, a Catholic background where, they called the host, that little round wafer, the Eucharist. And it's amazing how the meanings of words can change. But in this gathering of God's people, where they came to be exposed to God's Word and to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of God the Father, the result of that gathering was thankfulness. And they change the meaning to some symbol. And then they change the meaning of the symbol to some work of magic, some witchcraft. Satan is a subtle one. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us. Who made us? The Father made us right. It says, King James says, meet, word is right. Made us, the Father made us right to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God made us. We didn't make it. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Dr. Scott offered an alternative translation to this 12th and 13th verse, wherein he says, having made you fit for the part of the lot of the saints in the light, that is, the light of God, and rescued us for Himself out of the authority of darkness, and has transferred, that is, moved from one place to another into the kingdom of the Son of the love of Him. That Him is the Father. And an expression of the Father's love is Jesus. Not just the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, but the Jesus who was, well, Let's go on. Let's go on. Who is this Jesus? Kingdom of His dear Son, that's Jesus. In whom, that is Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now he's going on talking about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now I'm going to read this with corrections made by Dr. Scott. King James says, for by him, Dr. Scott corrected this word. He said, for in him, that is Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. If we are part of the body, we are the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. And in all, he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is Jesus, should all fullness dwell. We need to realize, we need to be aware, I'm part of this, we need to be constantly reminded, we are part of something big, and that by God's choosing, not our choosing. This is going to be a short session. And I speak to myself as well as to you guys. My hope is that this week we would walk in a little more awareness of God's presence in our life. And thereby, we will walk worthily in the Lord. And that's the God School. This is one point.